The bow and arrow is my weapon. But I've spent a fair amount of time throwing knives as well. Sometimes, if I've wounded an animal with an arrow, it's better to get a knife into it too before I approach it. I realize that if I want Haymitch's attention, this is my moment to make an impression. I yank the knife out of the table, get a grip on the blade, and then throw it into the wall across the room. I was actually just hoping to get a good solid stick, but it lodges in the seam between two panels, making me look a lot better than I am.
"Stand over here, both of you," says Haymitch, nodding to the middle of the room.
We obey, and he circles us, prodding us like animals at times, checking our muscles, examining our faces.
"Well, you're not entirely hopeless. Seem fit, and once the stylist get hold of you, you'll be attractive enough."
Peeta and I don't question this. The Hunger Games aren't a beauty contest, but the best-looking tributes always seem to pull more sponsors.
"All right, I'll make a deal with you. You don't interfere with my drinking, and I'll stay sober enough to help you," says Haymitch. "But you have to do exactly what I say."
It's not much of a deal, but still a giant step forward from 10 minutes ago when we had no guide at all. "Fine," says Peeta.
"So help us," I say.
"When we get to the arena, what's the best strategy at the cornucopia for someone?"
"One thing at a time. In a few minutes, we'll be pulling into the station. You'll be put in the hands of your stylists. You're not going to like what they do to you, but no matter what it is, don't resist," says Haymitch.
"But," I begin.
"No buts. Don't resist," says Haymitch.
He takes the bottle of spirits from the table and leaves the car. As the door swings shut behind him, the car goes dark. There are still a few lights inside, but outside it's as if night has fallen again. I realize we must be in the tunnel that runs up through the mountains into the capital. The mountains form a natural barrier between the capital and the eastern districts. It is almost impossible to enter from the east except through the tunnels. This geographical advantage was a major factor in the districts losing the war that led to my being a tribute today. Since the rebels had to scale the mountains, they were easy targets for the capital's air forces. Peeta, Mellark, and I stand in silence as the train speeds along. The tunnel goes on, and I think of the tons of rock separating me from the sky, and my chest tightens. I hate being encased in stone this way. It reminds me of the mines and my father, trapped, unable to reach sunlight, buried forever in the darkness. The train finally begins to slow, and suddenly bright light floods the compartment. We can't help it. Both Peeta and I run to the window to see what we've only seen on television, the capital, the ruling city of Panem. The cameras haven't lied about its grandeur. If anything, they have not quite captured the magnificence of the glistening buildings in a rainbow of hues that tower into the air, the shiny cars that roll down the wide paved streets, the oddly dressed people with bizarre hair and painted faces who have never missed a meal. All the colors seem artificial, the pinks too deep, the greens too bright, the yellows painful to the eyes. Like the flat, round discs of hard candy we can never afford to buy at the tiny sweet shop in District 12. The people begin to point at us eagerly as they recognize a tribute train rolling into the city. I step away from the window, sickened by their excitement, knowing they can't wait to watch us die. But Peeta holds his ground, actually waving and smiling at the gawking crowd. He only stops when the train pulls into the station, blocking us from their view. He sees me staring at him and shrugs.
"Who knows?" he says. "One of them may be rich."
I have misjudged him. I think of his actions since the reaping began. The friendly squeeze of my hand,
his father showing up with the cookies and promising to feed Prim. Did PETA put him up to that? His tears at the station. Volunteering to wash Haymitch, but then challenging him this morning when apparently the nice guy approach had failed. And now the waving at the window, already trying to win the crowd. All of the pieces are still fitting together, but I sense he has a plan forming. He hasn't accepted his death. He is already fighting hard to stay alive. Which also means that kind PETA Mellark, the boy who gave me the bread, is fighting hard to kill me.